flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 107. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. Let me tell you something. There are too many people who fought and died for everyone who is legally eligible to vote, to have that right, to be able to walk into the voting booth. That voting booth that we paid the taxes for, and cast their ballot without fear or intimidation or threats. One of my favorite stories to tell is about Fannie Lou Hamer. And she is the reason that I don't have any fear. Fannie Lou Hamer was a civil rights pioneer in rural Mississippi. And back then, they required black people to take a literacy test in order to vote. And so because of the disparities in education, because things that are separate are not equal, they could not pass the literacy test. And so she would hold classes, because she could read and write, to teach the farmers and sharecroppers in Mississippi how to pass the test, how to read just well enough to pass the test. And when they start passing the test, the police picked up Fannie Lou Hamer and they took her to prison, to jail. And they gave the biggest black male inmate in that prison a baton. And they told him, if he did not beat her, he knew what was going to happen to him. And so that inmate beat Fannie Lou Hamer with that baton on her legs all night long until he couldn't strike another blow, until he was tired. And so they went and found another inmate, another big black man, and they gave him the baton, and then he beat her legs until the morning. And when they were done, they dragged her out and threw her in a ditch, and they left her for dead. This is in the United States of America. Not that long ago. And do you know what this woman did? She crawled home. She bandaged her wounds. She strengthened herself. And the very next day, she got back out there and taught classes so that people who were eligible to vote could pass the literacy test. Whenever I go vote, I think about Fannie Lou Hamer and I cry, because I always take my kids with me. And I think about the fact that when I vote, I don't have to worry about the person in front of me threatening me or my kids. I don't have to worry about the person behind me threatening me and my kids. When I get in my car and turn the ignition, no bomb is going to go off. When I get to my house, there's not going to be a cross burning in my yard. When I go inside, nobody's going to throw a brick through my window to try to keep me afraid from going to the polls. I owe that to Fannie Lou Hamer and so many other people like her. And so I'm sorry. I'm just not afraid of anything. Because after all that, if Fannie Lou Hamer gets back up, then me too. Then me too. And so I want to talk about the fact that this election is very heated. And there's some people out there who are hell-bent on keeping some of us from casting our ballots. They do this through voter intimidation. They do this through disinformation on social media. But there is something you can do. There's some place you can call to report this, to make sure that the information gets to authorities. There's some ways that you can make sure that you're not being intimidated, that you're not being threatened, so that you can cast your ballot in this free and clear election, so that you can make sure that when you go to the polls, you don't have to be worried. You don't have to be scared. You don't have to wonder if somebody is going to threaten you or your family. And so I've asked Anastasia Carrera to join me. She is on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Anastasia, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much. Thank you for really grounding us and sharing Fannie Lou's experience, lived experience, to remind all of us why this conversation is so important.
Now, Anastasia, talk to us about the organization that you're with and the work that you do, because I need people to know if they're feeling intimidated or they're feeling threatened or they feel like they need to leave because their life is on the line or their vote is going to cause them harm in any way, that, you know, there is something they can do. There is a number they can call. There is some place that they can go to report this, to get information, to make sure that they you don't have to feel that. They don't have to experience that.
Exactly. So Common Cause Minnesota is a nonprofit, nonpartisan group that is oftentimes considered a watchdog group for grassroots in our communities. We have over 1.5 million folks across the state that identify as our members, and about 24,000 or so across the state of Minnesota. We fight for open and accountable government. And so for us, when we talk about open and accountable government, it's about centering people, right? Centering people, not political parties, not political candidates, but people and the power and the will of the people, because ultimately we are the power within our democracy, not just in Minnesota, but statewide. And so to that effort, we run the state's largest nonpartisan election protection program across the state. And part of that program involves hitting all the key things that you just talked about. We've got nonpartisan volunteers that are rolling out as we speak, but also are going to be at many of our polling places on Election Day, November 5th. We've got a component that works to inoculate against disinformation and misinformation targeting our communities, particularly our immigrant communities and other communities of color and indigenous communities across the state. And ultimately, we also have our hotline. And that's where anyone can call starting right now. All through Election Day, I believe in Minnesota, we've got it going all the way through midnight. And that is the 866-687-8683 number. And the easiest way to remember it is the 866-R-VOTE. hotline. And that is, again, armed by a whole slew of nonpartisan attorneys that specialize and are very well educated in elections and voting rights, both at a national and a state level in Minnesota. Dorsey and Whitney, shout out to them. They're our partners here on the ground. And they're available to any and all voters that either witness putting place violence or intimidation tactics, whether they themselves experience some issues or barriers. Our number one ask is that you do not leave your voting place. If you vote early and it's a voting center, do not leave the voting center. Call our hotline immediately, and we are in a position to help you on the spot and make sure that you get to cast your ballot. If you're voting on election day, same thing. Do not leave your precinct area. Stay right where you are and call the hotline, and we're able to get you connected to anyone and everyone that you need, including attorneys, to help you cast your ballot that day. We've also got a variety of different languages as well.
Now, talk to me about this. Is that number manned during voting hours? Is there a certain cutoff? Is it as long as the polls are open? Because I want to make sure if somebody's voting after work or somebody's voting first thing in the morning, is this a 9-to-5 number, or is this a as long as the polls are open number?
So, So that's a really good question. For early voting, I really recommend that folks call the hotline and just make sure, A, that you know where is your closest voting center, right? And you will get all that information, right? Including how long the hours are open, where you need to go, and things of that nature. If it is on election day, polling places in Minnesota open at 7 a.m., and those hotlines are ready to go as soon as polling places are open. In Minnesota, polling places are technically closed at 8 o'clock, which I want to say something. If you are in line and there is a line at 8 o'clock, do not leave the line because you're looking at your watch or your cell phone thinking, oh, the polling place is closed at 8, and so now I'm not going to get to vote. If you are in line as of 8 p.m. on November 5th, which is Tuesday, stay in line. You will be allowed to vote. It is only those individuals that arrive after 8 p.m. that will not be allowed to vote. So that's something I want to make sure I focus on. Now, back to your question about...
Hold on. We got to take a quick break because there's so much I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about folks getting paid time off to go vote early, and so many other things about holding power accountable, and whether that is from outside or inside our communities. It's so much I want to talk to you about, and so much of the work that you do that I want people to know about. And I also want to give them that website and phone number one more time. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk more with Anastasia on the Shaletta Show. It is 1:21. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio. We are talking about this upcoming election, and we want to make sure that as you go to the polls, whether it is on Monday to vote early or Tuesday on election day, that you feel safe, that you feel secure, that you don't feel threatened. And so I'm talking to Anastasia Carrera with Common Cause. She is joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. And before you go, before we went to the break, Anastasia, I wanted to talk about that paid time off to go vote early. And I need to make sure that people know, because some people may say, you know what, I'm working. I work two jobs. I can't afford to take off to go vote. There's a line, and I can't be in that line all day. I'm going to miss my hours, and I have tuition to pay. I have hospital bills. I have rent. I have a car note. I've got gas. But your job has to give you paid time off to go vote.
That's right. That's right. In Minnesota, last legislative session, there was a new law passed that now extends paid time off to go vote before election day. In the past, people could only get paid time off on election day itself. Now, you can go, for example, right now, we're 3 days away from elections on Tuesday. On Monday, you can go at any time, as long as you let your supervisor know and let them know that you are going to take time off to work, and they give you paid time off, reasonable paid time off, to go and cast a ballot.
That is so important, and that is a game changer for so many folks. You were talking earlier, for anyone who just tuned in, Anastasia, about Common Cause. You have so many people on the phone line, online as well. If people feel like they're being intimidated or somebody is trying to suppress their vote and they're not sure what to do, talk to me about, again, what Common Cause does and how people can reach out to you.
Right. So we are we're leading the efforts in Minnesota on running the state's only nonpartisan election protection program, Boots on the Ground. And so our hotline, the 866 Our Vote hotline, is actually open right now from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. during the work week, including Monday and Tuesday, the day of Election Day. And during the weekends, we're open from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. So if folks have questions about what do they need, because in Minnesota, you can register to vote and vote the same day. So
that's
where you're at. And if you want to know what you need to show up with when you go, or where do you need to go, you can call that hotline. Again, it's 866-OUR-VOTE, and that's 1-866-687-8683, and we will go ahead and get you connected with all the information you need to go ahead and cast a ballot on Tuesday or on Monday. I urge people, if you can do it on Monday, take care of it. If you can do it on the way to work, after you drop off the kids at daycare or in school, do it then. If you can do it during your lunchtime, it doesn't have to be, by the way, during those times. Again, you're able to get reasonable time to paid to go and vote early on Monday, if not Tuesday.
And that is something that is on the books. It is in place. Hold your employer accountable. That is the law in the great state of Minnesota. And, you know, we've only got a few days before Election Day, Anastasia. And we know that the disinformation on social media is rampant. Talk to me about that.
Yes. Thank you so much for bringing that up, because at the end of the day, if we peel away all of the noise that we see on TV or we see on social media, it's about power, right? It's about a specific intent or a specific goal to disenfranchise a very specific demographic. And usually it's our communities, right? Usually we're the ones, right, with the bullseye, right, with regards to keeping us from exercising, because again, and thank you so much for reminding us about why this is so important. The civil rights movement ties to holding power accountable in our political power, not just because Dr. King and all the other civil rights leaders just wanted us to register to vote, right? What they were trying to do is get equitable share of America's prosperity gained on the backs of our communities, right? On the backs of our bodies. And so that's what voting does. It holds power accountable. And now, as you beautifully put it, with your tradition of voting with your children, we're able to get a chunk of that political power, right? In a way that is not threatening to our immediate bodies. So what do they do now? Well, they get fancier with it, right? They couch it up in videos, which we call deep fake videos. I urge people, please do not share content on social media, whether it's Twitter, X, TikTok, Facebook, WhatsApp, before you hit that repost or like, you know, and scroll button. Please make sure that you trust the source, not the source as in your friend or your family member, but the source as in ask yourself, who created this content? And what is the message of this content really doing to encourage people to exercise their right and their political voice in this time right now, right? Ask yourself that. Look into it. Google it. Do a quick Google and find out who it is, because a lot of times they put really nice names to it, and it's actually a nefarious group, right? Look at, if it's a video, listen to what they're saying and look at their mouth. Does the timing of what the lips are moving coincide with what the voice is saying? Because nowadays we're seeing fancy things where it could be me or you in a video from another engagement that we did speaking to the audience, but it's being manipulated by artificial intelligence to say something that we did not say. And the best way to really see that is to really pay close attention to those kinds of things. And really, at the end of the day, we're too busy to be trying to psychoanalyze all this stuff. At the end of the day, if you yourself are not familiar, right, don't share it. Don't share it. If you are not yourself familiar with who created that, just don't share it.
And I mean, it is so savvy. It is so amazing. And, you know, I get it from people that I know got good sense. My mama, my brother, my dad, my best friends who have degrees. And they're like, did you see this? And I'm like, girl, this is fake. And I know that because I have a production company. But the quality and the value of this stuff, it looks real. They're coming up with fake Washington Post websites. They're coming up with fake New York Times websites. So even then you think, OK, this looks legit. Go to their website and see if you can find that story. Go to their website and see if that's a real reporter or if it's something that's made up, because otherwise you're contributing to the disinformation. And that's the last thing we need in this election, whether you vote Republican, Democrat or other. I just want to make sure that you all make informed decisions, that you feel comfortable at the poll, that nobody is intimidating you, and that you know that you are supposed to get paid when you go to cast your ballot. Now, Anastasia, before you leave, you got to give us that phone number again, because if there's anybody going to the poll and they feel in any way that somebody is intimidating them or trying to suppress their vote, I want them to have a number that they can call, especially if they are a first time voter and they are not sure what to expect. I want them to have that handy so that they can whip out their cell phone and call somebody so that they can make sure to preserve the right that Dr. King fought and died for.
That's right. If folks go to vote and they don't see our nonpartisan election protection volunteers at their polling place wearing the yellow T-shirts that clearly say nonpartisan election protection volunteer, please call the hotline. That hotline number is 866. Our vote, and that is 866-687-8683. If you see videos, if you see a post, I want people to know the election day is November 5th, not the 6th, not the 7th. We already see that there's disinformation out there about that. There is no makeup day. People who don't get to vote because they didn't get a chance to get to the polling place don't have a makeup day. Launch is November the 5th as the last time before 8 p.m. at night. If you have an absentee ballot and you didn't put it in the mail, please do not put it in the mail at this point. It will likely not get received by the deadline of Tuesday, November 5th at 8 p.m. Please take it. Do not take it to your polling place. You can only return those absentee ballots in either a drop box in front of the same voting center that's assigned to you, right, to your area, or the elections official's office. The good thing is you don't have to remember any of that. You just have to call the hotline, call 866-OUR-VOTE, and we will help you get that absentee ballot to the right place.
Well, thank you so much for all your work. Thank you for being on this show. It is 1:31. You're listening to The Shaletta Show, and we will be right back. Baby, let me tell you something. I have three buckets filled with candy at my house from going trick-or-treating earlier this week with Brandon Cameron and Daniel Brundage. We braved that cold. We did that. And y'all, I have to tell y'all a funny story. So I did not want to be out in the cold. I love my kids, but I love my warm house more than I love my children at that point. And so we had the hand warmers, the foot warmers. We had the gloves, the hats, the scarves. It was cold. Okay. And there were no lights. Okay. The sun wasn't out. We went after dark. And so I said in my head, I said to myself, if the kids cut up in any way, I'm going to say, hey, you know what? You were cutting up and we're going to go home. So I was just waiting for them. I know that's so horrible. I was waiting for them to do any little thing. If they would have just forgot to say thank you or forgot to say trick or treat or something like that, I was going to be like, oh, you didn't say thank you. Let's go home. You don't appreciate this candy. Let's go on back in the house. We're just going to give away candy tonight because you didn't say thank you. And my kids were just must have felt that coming because they were on their best behavior. They said thank you to everyone. They said trick or treat. And in fact, some of the parents reminded me of just years ago when we first moved in to the neighborhood in 2015 in Cottage Grove, how my children were not able to talk. This is our first year using orange Halloween buckets. We were using the blue buckets to symbolize that they had autism. and they couldn't talk. So when they rang the bell, they just stood there. But my neighbors saw the blue bucket and knew about my children. And so they gave them the candy, right? And so some folks reminded me how far my children had come since 2015, which was the first year that they went trick-or-treating in our new neighborhood, and how they couldn't talk. They couldn't make eye contact. They were scared to ring the bell. They ran away. Cameron would cry if anybody even looked at her, even though she was coming to their house to go trick-or-treating, and how now this year they were able to ring the bell and say thank you and happy Halloween and trick-or-treat, trick-or-treat. And so I felt real bad, and I had to ask for forgiveness for being so selfish. So I just went ahead and braved that cold and enjoyed Halloween with my kids. And then thankfully I didn't have to chop off a toe or anything from frostbite. But one thing I was trying to do was chop out some of this candy from their diet. I mean, we got three giant buckets of all of their favorite candies that they want to eat all day, every day. But what does that do to their teeth? How is that going to impact their oral health? And I had no idea that October was Oral Health Awareness Month. So this is the perfect time to talk to a dentist about what to do with all that Halloween candy. So I invited Dr. Quintarius Lester of the Hilltop Dental in Maplewood to come on the show. And he is joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Dr. Q, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me today. How are you today?
I am confused. What am I supposed to do with all this candy? Do I let the kids eat it? Is it going to give them cavities? Should I space it out so that they eat one piece a day? Or should I just let them put their whole head in that Halloween pumpkin bucket and let them go for broke? What am I supposed to do with all this candy?
So, as you just mentioned, you have a few options. Me in my house, we are on a one or two pieces a day. And on that same token, one or two pieces get thrown out a day because we are not going to eat all of that candy, because left unchecked, that candy can and will most certainly cause tooth decay and just other issues. But I would say the biggest thing to be mindful of is just moderation. Guiding or one, making sure our children know what eating the candy can and will do for the teeth, but for the general health of the body in general. If you are more liberal with that candy, I would say it's better to just let them have at it as quickly as possible. Because what that will do is allow all of that sugar to be ingested, to be in mouth, to bathe those teeth at once. And you're not in a situation where you're going back for a piece, and then a few minutes later, you're going back for another piece, and then a few minutes later, going back for yet another piece. Because what that will do is just have a constant stream of sugar in mouth, and allow that bacteria to do what it does best, which is cause cavities.
Okay, so after they eat the candy, should they immediately go brush, or is it brushing at night and brushing in the morning just fine? Should we tackle this differently since it's Halloween or even Easter, when Easter comes and we get a lot of candy? How should we handle that?
I am glad you brought up Easter as well as Halloween, because more than just the brushing, it is diet in general is a big factor. You can have the best oral health care and, you know, brushing, flossing multiple times a day, but if all you're doing is eating sugar, eating junk food, eating processed food, the best oral health care in the world won't help. So to that, brushing after eating candy, yes, it will be beneficial. But staying on that twice a day minimum is going to be helpful. Rinsing at a minimum, I would say, after any level of large sugar, consumption will be beneficial, just to provide a drastic cut of the sugars in the mouth. But again, I would say more important than the best oral health care is just going to be having a diet that is as low in processed sugars as possible. Because what that will do, again, is just keep the mouth for certain, but our bodies even more so, just in a healthier state.
We're talking to Dr. Quintarius Lester. He is the owner and the dentist at the Hilltop Dental. Dr. Q is known as the Joyful Dentist. He is in Maplewood at 50 County Road B East in Maplewood. If you're looking for him, thehilltopdental.com. I trust him with my children who have autism, who have an affinity to going to the dentist, and he is gentle and kind and wonderful with them. Now, Dr. Lester, I have to admit, when I was doing my research for this interview today, I had no idea it was Oral Health Awareness Month. What is one thing that parents need to know about their children's oral health that they don't know right now? The one thing that you always tell your patients when you think about it, that they're surprised that they need to do to make sure their kids have good oral health?
I would say the most important thing is centered around the fact that it starts young. Meaning it's important to, you know, begin those healthy habits in childhood. It's important for parents to understand and realize that, yes, there are baby teeth. Yes, they will lose those baby teeth, but it's still important to make sure that we're protecting those baby teeth, because what that will do is just make that more of a habit once we're transitioning to permanent teeth. There's a lot more concern and care when you're not just looking at these teeth as, oh, they're temporary. Oh, we're going to lose these anyways. Because then it becomes a lot easier when they aged and they're having tooth issues. It's just easier to say, oh, we'll just pull this tooth. Or, oh, no, we'll just take it out. You know, so I think that is going to be the most important thing, and what I make sure my patients know, that even the baby teeth matter.
Yeah, because we'll just kind of be real dismissive about it. And then that becomes a pattern or a habit, is what you're saying. And then when the big people teeth come in, when the grown-up teeth come in or the big kid teeth come in, they start treating it just like it was the baby teeth.
Correct.
Okay. Correct. All right. Now, you got to tell folks where they can reach you. We have a lot of people who are new to the Twin Cities. They're looking for a dentist for themselves and their family. You don't just specialize in kids. But, you know, one of the things that I like about you is, because I don't like going to the dentist, you have a specialty in working with patients who have a fear of dentists. So talk to me about where folks can reach you, where they can find you, how they can set up an appointment or a consultation.
Yes. Again, we are located at 50 County Road B East in Maplewood, right off of 35 and 36. We are on Facebook at Hilltop Dental. Appointments are open. We are accepting new patients. We accept most insurances. We also have an in-house membership plan for those without insurance. And I would say our mission is just to make ourselves available, so that we can meet people where they are and get their oral health care where they want it to be.
Well, Dr. Lester, thank you so much for joining us. You have an amazing Saturday and enjoy this weather. And we will do our best. We will do our best to do better by our kids and their oral health, especially this month being Oral Health Awareness Month. Dr. Quintarius Lester of the Hilltop Dental in Maplewood, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you as well. Have a good rest of your day.
All right. And you all stick around. I have got a hilariously funny story involving my son Daniel and the Tooth Fairy when we come. It is 1:51. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. Now, if you have missed any of this show, you can always go to WCCORadio.com and look for the Shaletta Show under the Saturday lineup from noon to 3. And up already is the heated interview and exchange that Brian McDaniel and I had. Not that we were at each other's throat, but we were just tackling a tough conversation and topic about Kamala Harris and her lack of support from black men. The interview that I just did will be up shortly with Dr. Quintarius Lester of the Hilltop Dental Office in Maplewood. He is a young black dentist, graduated from Meharry Medical College. He takes care of my family and my children and got me going back to the dentist. Lord knows I ain't been in 20 years because I just had an affinity for not being there. Nothing bad happened to me. I just always never liked the dentist. And I think I passed that on to my children, and that's not fair. And so he's trying to, you know, bring me back around and, you know, maybe I can fix up some stuff and have a beautiful smile so that when I go home to glory, maybe they can, you know, fix my face so that my teeth show and they can be straight and I can, you know, fix the crooked part. But, you know, I was talking to Dr. Lester and I thought about this hilarious story with my kids. So, you know, they're at the age now where they're realizing that Santa is not real. They're realizing the Easter Bunny is just a dude in a costume. And they have come to find out that the Tooth Fairy just might be fake. This was... And I have to say, I blame myself a little bit. I'm not going to say that it was never going to happen. It just didn't have to happen this soon. Right. As many of you know, I'm loud. I'm loud. I make a lot of noise when I go into a room. I'm not coming anywhere and I'm quiet. It's not happening. That's not how I roll. And so last Christmas, we were getting the gifts together and with my parents, and we had a cocktail or two or three, and the music started playing. And so I woke up the kids being loud. And so, you know, I tell them, you know, if you get out the bed, Santa's not coming. Now, you can get out the bed if you want to. If you got to pee, you better hold it, because if you get out the bed and Santa sees you get out the bed, you're not coming. So Cameron is my bold child. And she was really just coming to ask us to be quiet. She didn't think she was doing anything wrong because she couldn't sleep because her mama was in there having some eggnog and listening to some music, Christmas music, and having a good time. And she came in on us wrapping up her gifts. Of course, being the family reporter, she had to give this information to her brothers. And so they've been sitting on this until now. And they let me know recently that they know Santa's not real. I have to say I was heartbroken. But I felt a little relief that now they know that some strange white man in a velvet red costume that's riding around in a sleigh is not paying for everything, and that I can now take full credit and responsibility for the money I spent on all of them damn toys. And now they also know that the Tooth Fairy is fake, and that's also my fault. So Cameron and Brandon lost those baby teeth this week, same night. And it just happened to be a night where I was tired. You know, my days are long sometimes. And I just really wanted to go somewhere and lay down. And I laid down on the sofa and I put the kids to bed and I said, you know, I'm just going to sit on the sofa. I'm going to watch the Timberwolves. I'm just going to hang out right here. I'm not going, you know, I'm not going to fall asleep. Right. I'm just going to stay right here. And I'll go upstairs in a few minutes. Well, I fell asleep. And when I woke up, it was 5:15. My kids wake up at 6 o'clock. That's when I remembered that I had not retrieved the teeth. And I had not put the obligatory $2 under their pillows. So I took my shoes off and I tiptoed into Cameron's room first. And I snuck the $2 under her pillow. But I couldn't get the tooth. And I knew that if the $2 and the tooth were both there, that she would have questions. So I could feel the tooth, but I couldn't get to it. So I just knocked it behind her bed. So we were good there. But then I went in Daniel's room. And Daniel's my light sleeper. Y'all, I went to put the $2 under Daniel's pillow. And he immediately jumped up. He looked at me. He looked under his pillow. He got his $2 in his hand. He caught me with his tooth in my hand and yelled at the top of his voice, "Guys, wake up. Mom is the tooth fairy." I'm devastated. But not too.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Devastated to do another hour of the Shaletta Show. So y'all stick around. We'll be right back.